Message is entitled The Impartation of a Spiritual Father. I want to ask if Matthew would read the scripture on the back. It's taken from Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6.
Behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, a reconciliation produced by repentance, so that I will not come and strike the land with a curse of complete destruction.
Now, I want to ask you a question. I want to say, now, just think with me for these characters and in these movies, what they have in common. What do these people have in common? Ready? Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, Tarzan, James Bond, Harry Potter, Cinderella, Jane Eyre, Mowgli in Jungle Book, that guy in Despicable Me, Good Will Hunting, Annie, Oliver Twist, and Pollyanna. What do they have in common? The hero is an orphan. The heroes are all orphans, and there's something that resonates with us when you have removed the covering and you remove all the help, and they build movie after movie and story after story, because we can all relate to this orphan heart, can't we? The feeling of not being loved, not being cared for, not being somebody there for you to cover you, protect you, that sense of being alone, that's a challenge, isn't it? And we revel and enjoy watching little orphan Annie come into the household of Daddy's Starbucks. How about Warbucks? That's funny right there. I don't care who you are. That's just hilarious. Or Tarzan being raised by, you know, gorillas or stuff, and Superman coming to the planet and being adopted, and all these different. Everybody's an orphan in these movies. And the Bible says that before the great and terrible day of the Lord is going to send the spirit of Elijah, and he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. One translation said the hearts of the parents, and I looked it up, and it's not parents, it's the father. Hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children to the fathers. It says, lest I come and I smite the land or strike the land with a curse of utter destruction, of real destruction. And it says to turn it, and what is that turning about? It's about a spirit of repentance. So we're going to talk about what a spiritual father can impart. I want to point out that this he did come. In fact, when John the Baptist was born, Zechariah prophesied. He says, and it was in Luke 1, 16 through 7, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And says, Jesus said this, John, if you're willing to accept it, is he is Elijah who is to come. And then, of course, we say, well, what did Elijah preach? And it says, he came baptizing in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance. Everybody say repentance. For the forgiveness of sins. And then, of course, John the Baptist cried out, bear fruit worthy of repentance. In other words, show the change of heart. I love that old movie when he pulled the Roman soldier off of the horse and baptized him. You know, I don't know if you remember that, but in the Pharisees, you brood of vipers, you know, show forth fruits worthy of repentance. And this, the concept of repentance, here's how this will work. In a family where nobody will forgive one another, it's dysfunctional. It's broken, right? And that's how utter destruction can come in. How about this? The father's not there. And that's what we're suffering with today. It says, how does a whole generation, how does a whole culture disintegrate? And it's known through the results of fatherlessness. Here's just 9 little things that I found in research. 5 times the average suicide rate for someone who's fatherless. Wow. Here's just a few other things. Dramatically increased rates of depression and anxiety. 32 times the average rate of incarceration. decreased education levels, increased dropout rates, consistently low and average income levels, lower job security, increased rates of divorce and relationship issues, substantially increased rates of substance abuse, and increases in social and mental behavioral issues. So you have all of these painful things that factor in, and we see that all around us, do we not? So what in the world is the good news? The good news is, Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Somebody shoot a hallelujah up there. He knows. He has his hand on this issue, doesn't he? Look at the next verse. It says, Jesus said to him, this is Philip, when he says, when will we see the Father? He says, have I been with you so long, you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And Father God's heart is revealed in the person of Jesus. It's a big deal because most people can, there are many when I talk to people, they say, I can relate to Jesus, but I can't relate to the Father because of the brokenness, the wounding, the lack, the sense of either abuse or different things. Yesterday I was sitting in a place in this young, well, 25-year-old person, girl came in and she was sitting there in this, and I was waiting, and as I was waiting, we struck up a conversation, and I felt the Lord prod me. And when I feel the Lord prod my heart, I feel His love stir. And when I feel His love stir, I know that He's there to love somebody through my life. We had a lot in common, me and this 25-year-old girl. We were both physically abused at age 9. She with a belt buckle, me with a fist. I love my dad, by the way. That's all healed and he's in heaven. So I don't have any hurts or stuff. In fact, I praise the Lord for what happened to me in my childhood, because learning the way of the Lord through forgiveness, God has equipped me and given me a capacity to do things that I get to do, especially sitting next to someone, whether a man or a woman or boy or girl, and allow God's healing grace to just issue forth and release something in their hearts. And she was scarred by a belt buckle at age 9 and then dropped off at the welfare office and became a ward of the state and went from family to family to family. And then at 13 decided she was going to fight, be a fighter. And at 16 she had a baby and she decided she was not going to change her ways. But every church she'd gone to, the ones she'd gone to, they said that you have to be perfect. You can't smoke. You can't cuss. You can't do those things and be a Christian. And she just never, she knew somehow maybe God loved me. And I got the opportunity. I sat there and I says, I just want to go ahead and tell you right now that you've been lied to. And she said, I have. And I said, yes, you've been lied to. Because you can't work your way. You can't do enough to get God to love you. You can't pay money. Your good looks won't get you there. Your charm, your intelligence, nothing that you can do. You know how you get God's love? She said, how? I said, you acknowledge that you need Him and you give Him your sins. And that's how you get His love. And she said, really? I'm telling you, moments like this, when God's love starts to go into somebody, she said, really? I said, yeah. Would you like to receive it right now? She says, yes. Tears welling up. Lead Him in prayer. It's amazing to me. When that time comes, nobody walks by. Nobody. Nobody walks by. Nobody interrupts. God says, this is my time. This is my time. Impart, impart, impart. Here comes the love. Here comes the healing grace. Here comes the healing from the leading in forgiveness, leading in letting, begin to speak blessing over the family. All this stuff right here, just in a little 15-minute, maybe half an hour time. Because Father God loves, and He loved me. Let's go ahead and look at the next verse. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. So what did you receive when you came to the Lord? You didn't receive the fear. You didn't receive a spirit of slavery. No, you received the spirit of adoption. You received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The same spirit that Jesus talked to Daddy God is the same spirit that you and I have now.
Abba.
I love the movie The Passion, when Jim Caviezel's in the garden, and he actually learned Koine Greek and some Arabic back then to speak, and I listened to him with grappling, and you know what he was saying several times? Abba. He says, Daddy, if you can take this cup from me, crying out. The spirit of adoption that we have, the paperwork has been done. God says, I've received you into my family, and now your name is written in heaven, and there are actual documents of adoption. And more than a piece of paper in heaven, written down eternally, is what's written on our heart and what opens us up to receiving the unconditional love of God. Unconditional love. So, I want us to look at one more scripture, and this is from Paul talking, and Paul says, though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. I want to talk about the impartation of a spiritual father here, just for a minute. It won't take long, and then we'll get into communion. Really don't have a lot to cover, just a few little items. It says, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. You know, he had Timothy as a proven son, he said, a proven son, who said, who cares not only for, he cares for the interest of those in Christ Jesus. He's a servant in the gospel with Paul. He imparted to him. And Timothy didn't have a dad that's mentioned in the Bible. He had a mother and a grandmother that imparted the faith to him. And moms and grandmoms can do a great job. But there's something a spiritual father does, or a father does, that these, we're going to talk about these things, that change your life in a way that... Now look, God, I want to say this, because I really want to say this. There is a strength and impartation of the Spirit where the Spirit of a father can actually come in through a mom and inscribe the things. God He's not lacking. He can give a strong mother to raise up powerful sons, and he will give a grace to do this. But this grace really truly rests upon the man, and it's almost natural. But because of so much damage and so much lack and so many areas of abuse, it takes a man to raise a man. Typically, it takes a mentor of some sort. So we're going to, I love this, how Paul says this. He says, I urge you then, be imitators of me. Paul says this concept of being an imitator of him about 9 different times. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me, do what I do. And it'll impart to you. And you'll become what you're to be. Isn't that awesome? Let's look at the first fill in the blank. 3 impartations of a spiritual father. Number 1, the right spirit. The right spirit. And by that, I'm talking about that whole concept of a repentant heart. Where when daddy messes up. See, I didn't ever have that in my childhood where my dad would say, oh, I'm sorry. I never grew up with that. Where daddy made a boo-boo here. I'm sorry, son. Never heard that kind of stuff. And this was revelatory to me. Where suddenly, you know, your dad says, gosh, I'm sorry, let's regroup and think about this, or I was really upset there. Because the Bible says to a man, says, don't provoke your children to wrath. You know, don't just create upset all the time, being upset with them and provoking them all that. Just have a tender heart. Be a repentant father. And then I like to add this, because this is really the true biblical perspective. I learned this from Jack Hayford. Of a man is to be strong and caring. Be strong and caring. And you can't have one without the other. What happens when you have a strong man who's not caring? He ends up being violent. When you have a caring man who's not strong, he ends up being milquetoast. It's not right. But when you have what true male masculinity, what real manhood is about having a strength and having a caring heart. And when you have strong and caring men, they use their strength for the right reasons. Their motives are to take care of things. Isn't that right? How many of you say, that's what I want to be? Just go ahead and say, that's what I am in Jesus' name. If you're hanging around the Lord, you're going to become strong and caring. Amen? So that's that one. Number 2 of 3 impartations of a spiritual father. First is the right spirit. Second one, affirming words. You're going to speak words. Affirming words. And I have two categories here. Affirming words. The first category is words that build up the son and daughter with loving acceptance. Everybody say loving acceptance. You and I were created for love. You're created for it. And when you don't get it, you really suffer. You put on airs, you put on pretense, you put on all kinds of things to make up for the lack and deficiency of what you didn't get. You try to hide it, you try to, whatever, you know, you start, maybe overcompensate in this area, or try to, but when you're truly loved, and this is what I always see this when, if you look on different contests or different things like on YouTube or these different singing competitions and stuff, the people who really excel, you can, they run up and their mommies and daddies are there and they believe in them. And you can have great gifts, but have a deep, deep wounding because of the lack of affirmation. So the second part is to say, use your words to paint a prophetic picture of their personal potential and future in Christ's strength. I want to add the Christ strength part. You know, one thing I learned from a really, really powerful young lady that's in ministry today, considers Heather and I more like spiritual parents. She was always told that you can do anything. You can do anything. When you grow up, you can do anything. And it was not good to hear that because she could never focus. No matter what you do, you'll be able to be good at it. You can do anything. And she could never focus. The parent didn't have the insight to say, you know, this is what you're really good at. And to study your child and to look into their life and to see and to fan into flame that thing that would really cause them to rise up. Is that good? The Bible says that a child, when he's taught, see, when he's old, he will not depart from it. When teach the ways of, that teaching, that part, when you look into that little Hebrew word there, it really has to do with studying the child and knowing what they're good at and raising them up and telling them that God has a purpose for their life. You see, the other side is really devastating. That's what our culture suffers from. You're stupid. You don't know what you're doing. Don't give him a compliment. He'll get a big head. That was the one in the South that we heard all the time. Oh, don't tell him you did right. You give him a big head. It's like, what in the heck? He got a big head out of insecurity because he never heard anything that he did was good. Even God, when in creation, even God, he created something and he stopped and said, it's good. He modeled it for us. And then the second day came and said, it's good. And you know, he got all the way up to the sixth day and he made man. And he said, oh, very good. Made man in his image. The first story was what he did. The second story was how he did it. Man, just look at somebody and said, oh, very good. Go ahead. Very good. Just start with the Bible. Very good. We met some people on vacation from Brazil, and they were teaching me how to say stuff. Como sai, you know, I knew a little Spanish, but Portuguese is different. And finally I said, how do you say you're the best? Você é o melhor. And so every time I saw him, I said, você é o melhor. We'd high five. I said, you're the best. They wanted to hang around with us all the time. We missed our little FaceTime. We're supposed to FaceTime with them in Brazil. They're Emmy and Nick's age, and they wanted to hang out with us. Isn't that fun? I don't know why. It just makes you feel young when the young want to hang out with you. Affirming words. Let's put up Mark 1:11 says, and this is before Jesus. This is always good to review this because Jesus, before he did one thing, he never earned love. Father God beams over him and launches these words right out of heaven and says, you are my beloved son and with you I'm well pleased. How many of you are stuck in the idea that you got to do something before you get a compliment? Have to do something before you're loved. Have to earn it somehow. I want to tell you that that's not the Father's way. The Father not only doesn't do that, he affirms his love for you before you even know what you might be good at. He lays a foundation of unconditional love so that you have something to stand on so that you can begin to prosper. He does it that way. And I know this about the Lord. What the Lord does is he begins to show you in your private world, in your heart, what you're good at. He begins to say these things. You have to receive it from him, but he actually begins to say these things to you. He begins to paint a picture for you. If you listen, many people are so broken that no matter what God says, they still want to hold on to the old image of themselves. But the Lord said, no, you're better than the old image of yourself. I have a new image for you, and I want you to fulfill that by my strength and my love in your life. Let's go ahead to number three. Spiritual father imparts a good example. A good example. He imparts a right spirit, imparts affirming words, and a good example. By the way, let me go ahead and rehearse these one more time. I was talking with Larry Titus, who's a spiritual father to many sons in many different nations, and I remember coming to the end of a conversation with him, and we were talking about something, and he looks at me and says, now take the spirit of what I said and give it to Heather. No, he said, take my spirit and give it to her. I never heard anybody talk like that. Take my spirit and give it to her. The conversation that we had said, the spirit of what I talked to you about, use your own words, but take the spirit I gave you and communicate the spirit of this. Have you ever heard anybody say, don't listen to what I say, listen to what I mean? Catch the spirit of love and security in the communication. Catch the spirit of that, the right spirit. And then, how many of you need affirming words? Let's just make this place a happy house with many affirming words. If you're not used to do it, start doing it. And just, you can say all kinds of complimentary things to people. Come up with your own little way. Make people feel good. Go ahead and sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. Let's look at this last one again. And this is the good, Second Timothy 3:10 says, you, however, and he's talking to Timothy, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, and my sufferings. These are nine things. And I was sitting there meditating on these, and I put them in your notes here. Let's go look at the first one. He imparted his teaching, and this is how he lived. He says, I impart how I live to you. I impart how I live. I impart my teaching. I impart my conduct. As I impart what I do. What I do. How I go about what I do. I impart my aim in life. Who I am becoming. You're becoming something. Do you know that? You know, Judas was a thief. He became a traitor. You become something when you open up doors to things. He was a thief. He became a traitor. You can become a generous soul. You might not be generous now. People say, I want to be rich. Be generous first. Be rich in spirit. Be generous. Your aim in life. What are you becoming? I like this. My faith. My passionate pursuit of Jesus. How many of you have a vibrant faith? And really, faith is about that. And I like this. Patience. How I treat others. How many of you found out that there's a joke about just don't pray for God to give you patience because you're going to go through a lot of trials. And I think there's probably a little wisdom in that. Just go ahead and take it life as it comes and treat people. How many of you have difficulty with this being impatient? Is that right? This is a big one. And typically it's because of a lack of margin. When we don't have margins in our life, when we don't give us enough room and time between things, and having time to renew your own soul, to have, I made a fresh commitment to just journal and every day. I just open the Word of God and read the Word, and listen to the Holy Spirit and jot down those things. And I have a new. In fact, it'd be fun to just get with some guys and start stirring that up again, because hearing a fresh word from the Lord on a daily basis is what I need. Right now, I need it more than ever. And I just, it's that love for the Lord and love for Him. And that creates a sense of patience. Also, look at this next slide, love. He says, my love, I've imparted my love. This is the way I care about and serve others. Also, the steadfastness, my steadfastness, the way I stick with God through trials, persecutions, how I handle myself and others when mistreated. How many of you go through stuff? And I like this last slide, the sufferings, the challenges that I... He says, I've imparted all this, the challenges in life that I go through. I've imparted how I handle these things. Let's look at the last slide. The spiritual father imparts the right spirit, affirming words, and a good example. Now, as we come to our time in the around the communion table, I want to have us just pause, put the world on hold for a second. Invite the Lord to bring a searchlight to your heart. I want to share with you a spiritual secret. When Jesus said, this is my body, what he was doing here was he was taking all of our griefs. There's little holes in the cracker. They're symbolic of the piercings of Jesus' life. His hands, his feet, his heart, his head. There's a kind of a secret, and the secret is wrapped up into two things wrapped in together. The first one is the power of forgiveness. And the second one is the power of blessing. I'm going to step down here for a second. It took me 5 years. It took me 5 years for the Lord to walk me through the strategic way that he releases healing into somebody's life. 5 years. And he took me back to the moment when my father was had pinned my shoulders down, 9 years old. Pinned my shoulders down and was in a rage, a violent rage, pounding my face with his fist. Broke, cracked on the inside, broke, devastated in self-hatred and abuse and all these. It was like it cracked open a way for demons to just suck into my life. And the bitterness grew and grew, and I hated myself, and I was full of anxiety all the time. And the Lord says, okay, you're mine now, but I'm going to get you free. And he took me back, and here I'm standing there as a man, and in that memory, and I'm standing there next to Jesus, and there's my father beating me on the floor. And he says, what would you do? I said, well, I'd pull him off of there. He says, that's right, Roger, it wasn't your fault. And healing began to go inside of me. Jesus said, that's not your fault. It was his fault. Now forgive him. I thought it was my fault the whole time. I must have deserved it. Jesus said, no, you didn't deserve it. And every single thing that how my life was affected, finances, relationship to my wife, to kids, to my job, to everything was affected by my father's imparting his anger. The Lord says, I'm going to scrub every little angle of your life. I'm going to take away every little thing. And guess what? He has. I've learned. I wouldn't. It's crazy, but I wouldn't take the beating back. I used to tell the Lord, Lord, I could go so much further had I had a healthy dad. He goes, I'll make up the difference. You wouldn't be able to teach this and impart this had you not been healed by me. Is that right? And there's a broken culture, and it needs somebody to sit down next to them and say, they lied to you, honey. You know, this, she stood up and still nobody was around. Santa, honey. And this complete stranger, 20 minutes before, was hanging on to me. I just held her. Just held her. Truth, mercy, love of God, imparted by one who's been healed. Went out to the parking lot to leave. She wanted more hugs. Because when you begin to be healed by Jesus through a father figure, oh wow, through someone who's already, we got a lot in common, honey. We were both beat up at 9. I said, you're the reason I came down here. So I'll be praying for you. Name's Kate. Spent time in prayer this morning asking God to touch her, flood her life with his love. How many of you need the, everybody around here needs this? Is that right? Why do you turn to a drug? Why do you turn to alcohol? Why do you turn to just sex? Why do you just run off to these things? Because they're idols that promise. They promise something. You'll be better if you do this. It'll all be better if you do this. If I just get high, it'll go away. And it's worse. You can just pump yourself full of stuff. And finally, it's like, you're so strung out and messed up. Your life is ruined. And Jesus goes, and look, here's the point. I took all your griefs. And it has to come a point where you go, you trust the Lord to take it. You trust, let's hold it up. You trust the Lord to take it. You trust him to take this. You take it off me. Take it out of me. Get rid of it. Help me, Jesus, find you in this. And this is what salvation is about. Salvation is, I receive the unconditional love of God. And he takes my sin. And he gives me himself. Let's praise him just a minute. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we come right now, we're just asking for this little cracker to be like a seed of eternal life. To go in us and produce, Lord, to give us a new sense of the depth of your love. A new sense that we're not in this alone. We're not orphans. You said, I'm going to come after you, you orphans. I'm not going to leave you that way. I'm going to make you sons. I'm going to adopt you into my family. You're going to be saying, Abba, Father, before you're done. And I'm going to bring you along. I'm going to surround you with people who know me and love me, and they're not legalistic. And they're not judgmental, and they're not condemning. They're full of mercy and they're full of grace because they learned me. Let's praise him, Lord. Praise him, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let's lift our, just repeat. Say, Father God, thank you for your unconditional love shown to me in Jesus Christ. I receive this bread of the new covenant. And right now, where I have been broken, I receive your wholeness. Where I have been abused, I receive your healing. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Let's partake. Now we come to the cup. And the cup is about the blood of Jesus. Let's praise the Lord for a minute. Now, the blood is an incredible thing in the Bible. And Jesus, when he was there with the disciples at that Last Supper, it was that time during the Passover, and everybody knew what this was about because the liberty that came through the slaying of the Passover lamb, and they took the blood of the lamb in the Old Testament before they crossed over the Red Sea. They took the blood of the lamb and they daubed it on the doorposts, and the angel of death came, and wherever the blood wasn't there, the firstborn was consumed. But everywhere the blood was, the angel of death passed over. And so the Lord Jesus gives us his blood. And he says, I want you to apply it to the doorpost of your heart. And so the angel of death and those things meant for death will pass over you. Things will visit. Now there's some of you, death has visited you over and over and over. And then you came to the Lord. and things started to change. Because you begin to learn the Lord's way, and he says, I want to, you to sprinkle your heart, the doorpost of your heart, with the blood of the Lamb. Now, I said there were two secrets, and it's this. For me to walk in freedom, I had to learn the wisdom of receiving Jesus' forgiveness and giving it. That's the first one. And then the real power came in blessing. I had to learn to bless who hurt me. You know why? Because it's an amazing thing. You can forgive, and if you don't nail it down with blessing, for some reason, the unforgiveness will come popping back up. And the bitterness and that spirit of deception will come and revisit you and get you to reconsider what they did again. Until you begin speaking forth with those words filled with blessing. Now, you may be going through a trial right now. You don't feel like blessing. Let me just tell you. Let's go ahead. Are you ready? It's an act of faith. Did Jesus wait till he felt good to die for you? It wasn't all about feeling good. Okay, I feel real good today. I'm going to go be your redeemer. I didn't feel good yesterday, but today I will. No, it was, he came and this was his purpose. And liberty comes to people when you lock onto the purpose. And let me just tell you, you feel like people are getting away with something when you start to forgive them and bless them? No, you're setting yourself free. They're not getting away with anything. In fact, when you start seeing, bless them, Lord, oh, baby, now you're out of the way and God's going to get involved. God's going to get involved now. You know what blessing him is? Bringing him to Jesus. Come on, how's God going to bless somebody? He's going to bring him to himself. And what's going to happen? Change of heart. Transformation. Something shifts on the inside of the person because you're asking God to bless them. Now, it could take time. Let's praise the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I just sense him wanting to just come in here. Freshly anoint your people. Freshly anoint your people. Put the oil of joy on everybody that's been grieving, Lord. Release the blessing of your favor into their hearts. Praise you, Lord. I feel like the Lord's saying, I know you've been struggling, honey. I know you've been struggling. But you're receiving my truth today. Act on it and you'll watch me work in your behalf. Act on it and watch me work in your behalf. Act on it and watch me work in your behalf. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. There's a spirit of healing as well. Physical healing wrapped up in this. The Lord knows the needs inside of each of our bodies, and he knows that tied to the power of the blood is the release of healing. For we healed by the stripes of Jesus' back. Let's praise him for that. Lord, let a spirit of physical healing come into the room and touch bodies right now. Just as we begin to, as we honor your blood, honor the power of your forgiveness, honor the power of blessing, and honor the release of healing, we praise you in advance, Lord, for what you're doing in us. Lift burdens right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord, everybody like me who had a real rough time with their own father, was there or not, we just say we choose to be forgiving and we bless them. We ask that you pour out your grace in their life. Lord, release something in the realm of the Spirit that will cause them to turn their hearts to you and fulfill your prophetic word in Malachi, turning the hearts of the children to the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, to the spirit of repentance. We come in the name of Jesus to partake. Let's partake together.